Well, good morning. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Good to be here at Woodland Church. You know, we've had some pretty cool astronomical events recently over the last few years. Back in 2024, remember on August 19th, we had that rare alignment that occurred when a seasonal blue moon aligned with a supermoon, and we had a super blue moon, and it was going to be especially large and bright in the southeast Metro Detroit sky, and this is what it looked like. And then in 2025, a year later, on October 20th, there was two once-in-a-lifetime comets that made really exceedingly close approaches to Earth, creating a spectacular show for the Detroit area. And this is what we saw. And finally, just this year, a few months ago, we had six planets in alignment, a virtual planet parade. We'd see Mercury and Venus and Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune all together. But this is what we saw. Kind of see the outline of the trees there and the house in the bottom. Yeah, that's about it. Well, we laugh, but Jesus used two powerful metaphors when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and they are salt and light. And back in March 8th, my message was entitled Salt of the Earth, and I'd invite you to take another listen to that if you would, and because I'm going to kind of pick up where I left off and talk about the second metaphor, and that is light. So the title of my message is Light of the World. Light of the World. Today's main point is Christian witness, our relationship with the world. So let's begin with Jesus' words in his Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And this passage speaks to our Christian witness. And we defined our witness last time. To review, the witness of Woodland Church in our community is not just what we do or say, but who we are. It's our identity. You might remember I asked everyone to say, I am Woodland Church. Let's do it again. Say, I am Woodland Church. Oh, well, say it like you mean it. I am Woodland Church. Right. Now say to your neighbor, you are Woodland Church. Yeah, that's a little lackluster there. Well, when Jesus likens us to lamps, he reminds his listeners that no one puts a lamp under a basket, because that would be dumb. but we put it on a stand. Why? Because the higher the elevation, the more light can fill the room. Obviously, the higher the lamp is elevated, the more light you get. And so that's really our job. As a lamp gives light to all the house, we, as the light of the world, ought to shine our light to all the world. Our job, then, is to let our light shine. That's our job, is to let our light shine. Christian, what's your job description? Let my light shine. Right. But we must remember, though Jesus exhorts us to be the light of the world, we are light bearers, okay? We don't have the light of our own. We're not light. We're to carry his light, the light of Christ. But beware, because light isn't being right. I know they rhyme, but light isn't being right. Light is revealing God. A lot of people say, well, I have the light, so therefore I'm right, so I can tell you that you're wrong. And we sort of have a part-time job of telling people what's wrong. But our job description isn't telling people what's wrong. Our job description is shining our light. It's revealing God. So let's look at a familiar passage found in 1 John 1:5 through 9. Because, first of all, God is light. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light." I'll say that again. God is light. This is where we start. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus' son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look again at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. So it's important that as light bearers, we're to walk according to God's truth if we are to reveal his light, if we are to shine his light so that others will give him glory. Now, speaking of light bearers, let's consider a candle, all right? Candlelight. It's basically a wick and wax, right? The wax is the fuel, and the wick is the bearer of the light or the carrier of the flame. Now, when you think of a candle, we're the wick, all right? We're the wick. The wick doesn't produce light. The wax doesn't produce light. It's the flame that produces light. But both the wick and the wax are necessary for sustaining the flame. The wax as the fuel and the wick as the carrier or the delivery method of the fuel, drawing the wax into the flame to be burned. See, the wick carries the flame without being burned itself. And that is so wonderful that God would entrust us with his light, with his power, but not to be destroyed by it, not to be burned by it. He trusts us to show his light to others. Because that's our job description, to shine his light. Now, thinking you can live an effective Christian life that influences others to recognize and be drawn to the light of Christ without daily Bible reading and without church attendance and without regular fellowship with other Christians, well, you might go on a little while, but eventually you're likely to burn out. How? Well, if you think you're the flame, you're fooling yourself. Okay, we've established that. You're the wick. You carry the flame. But here's the thing. If your wax runs out, then what you feed the flame is yourself. As the wick, you quite literally burn yourself out. You weren't meant to burn. You were meant to carry the flame. So daily Bible reading and weekly church attendance replenishes your wax. Replenishes your wax. But too many Christians think they can maintain the light of Christ in their Christian witness and not come to church. And just think they just got it going on with Jesus and their wax depletes until they're basically consuming themselves rather than sharing the light that they ought to be sharing. Now, along those lines, if we were to turn out all the lights in the sanctuary and just one candle was lit, that one candle flame would light this entire sanctuary. But how much more light if all of us held a lit candle, right? How many remember our Christmas Eve service? That's us. All those candles lit. We had all the lights off and the entire sanctuary was lit. Here's the thing. We're brighter together. We're brighter together. When you light candles on a birthday cake and one goes out, what do? You don't just pick it up and throw it away. No, you pick a candle that's lit and you relight the candle that went out. Well, that's just a simple picture of ministry of the church. If someone's candle goes out, guess what? There's plenty of us who can relight their candle with theirs. We need each other. All of us matter. And as far as the community is concerned, you might think you're just one little candle, but collectively, Woodland shines much brighter in our community. And speaking of that, I like to think of another way. Instead of a candle, let's look at a lighthouse. Now, if you take a look at the graphic that I designed, I have a lighthouse that it's at night and it's shining into the open sea and painted some fog and, you know, did some fancy things with it. But we all know what a lighthouse does, okay? It helps different maritime vessels reveal where they are, where they should be, where they shouldn't be. It gives them guidance. And if the lighthouse were to cease to exist, it could spell disaster. These boats and ships are dependent upon that lighthouse. Now follow the logic. Since we are the light of the world, and since we are Woodland Church, then collectively, as Woodland Church, we reveal God's light to our community. Woodland Church is a lighthouse in our community. Woodland Church is a lighthouse in our community. And I added three questions that I want you to ponder. And don't just come up with a quick answer, but ponder them, pray over them. First question is, how are we shining God's light to our community? We obviously know how a lighthouse shines its light. How are we shining God's light? Number two, we know that ships are dependent upon the lighthouse. How are people in our community dependent upon Woodland's presence? And finally, we certainly know if that light goes out, if that lighthouse were to cease to exist, it would spell disaster. But what if Woodland ceased to exist? What if our church closed up? What difference would be felt in our community? Sobering questions I would invite you to pray about. And number three, there's something to be said of worldly light. What do I mean by that? Well, when I began, I shared some astronomical events, and we all kind of gave a chuckle that in Metro Detroit, we weren't able to see any of them. Here's a photo of Michigan from outer space. You can see our beloved Great Lakes, see the curvature of the Earth. Sorry, the Earth isn't flat. Hate to break it to you. But anyway, all those lights, those clusters of lights, the brighter those are, the larger they are, that's a greater concentration of people. Now, go to the next slide, and I kind of zoomed in for you and painted a red arrow. That's us. That big white splat. That's Metro Detroit. And we wonder why we can't see anything in outer space. You see, when I look up at the night sky, it's difficult or near impossible to see any stars because of something called light pollution. Ever hear of light pollution? Yeah. The city lights that obscure and literally outshine the stars. So I would say light pollution is the light of the world that competes with the light in the heavens. The light of the world competes with the light in the heavens. So that begs the question, what worldly lights have you allowed to outshine the light of Christ in your life? See, the Bible says that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. It's to deceive us. It's to lead us astray. It's to take our eyes off of Jesus. It doesn't even have to be something that's sinful. The devil just wants us to take our eyes off of Jesus. It could be binging for hours on end on Netflix or YouTube, or doom scrolling for hours on end on social media. You know, anything that takes you away from God, anything that keeps you from or gives you what you would call an excuse from serving other people, ministering to other people, attending church. I'm too tired to go to church Sunday morning. Yeah, because you watched three seasons until 4 a.m. You know, that's the world light being more attractive than God's light. But there's more, because not only are you missing out of God's blessing by spending time with him, others are missing out on what God would give you to bless them. And how can you give to them if you haven't received from God because you chose to binge on Netflix for three seasons rather than praying with God? It's a lose-lose. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. He copies and perverts in order to kill and destroy. There's a great illustration of this. How many are familiar with a bug zapper? Yeah, love them things. It's ultraviolet light attracts the flying insects, the mosquitoes, and the pests, and electrocutes them and fries them in a wire mesh. Here's the thing. Those flying insects, they're naturally attracted to the heavenly light of the moon. And they use that heavenly light for direction and for guidance. But when the counterfeit light, when the devil's bug zapper comes in, the worldly light, it's brighter, it's more attractive, and it lures them to their death. Well, what are some bug zappers in your life? What are some things that zap your energy, that zap your confidence, that zap your faith, that zap your trust in the Lord? Well, I can't tithe. I just got zapped. I can't serve in church. I got zapped. I can't read the Bible. It's too boring. I'm just zapped. The bug zapper is more attractive than God's light. Woe is me. No, that's not how we should live our lives. God's light is abundantly bright. We just got through reading that in him there is no darkness at all. If anything is brighter than God's light, it's because we turned away from God's light to look at something else. We can't look at God's light and anything else can be brighter. As long as your eyes are on Jesus, there is nothing brighter. It's when you take your eyes off of Jesus that you're like, oh. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. See, there's an ethical dimension to God's mission. When we talk about God's light, we ought to make God's teachings attractive. Keith is doing a marvelous job teaching through the book of Titus. And one of the things we read is that Paul encourages to behave well to make God's teachings attractive. So as God's light bearers, we ought to present ourselves with a quality of life highlighted by morality, kindness, and joyfulness that non-believers would say, I want what they got. We're not like, wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. I think I'm going to go sit in a pile of dirt, eat some worms, and put ashes on my head. I don't want that. You can have it. That's what Christianity is? Nope. Now, the light of Christ should be exhibited in our lives through service and good works, done joyfully, so that they literally outshine any worldly light competing for the affection of others. And finally, we can say we're the light of the world. We can say we know the truth. But it can't be overstated. People don't care what you know unless they know that you care. Yep. It's not cliche. It's just one of those rock-solid principles of society. So our Christian witness as light bearers is to make God's light attractive, more attractive than the bug zappers in the world. Now, you've probably been wondering what these beakers are up there. I have three beakers here, and they're just pure H2O. And let's pretend that water is the world, all right? Now, we're aware that the Bible says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. And as we've learned, we're to be the light of the world. And so we're to reflect God's light. What's our job description? Reflect God's light. Good. Pastor quiz. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to shine this 1,000 lumens lamp, representing God's awesome bright light, into this beaker of water. Yeah, that's bright. Try not to blind anybody. All right. And we see that the light passes right through it. Okay? Okay, you can open your eyes now. All right, the light just passes right through it. Why? Because this water represents the world, but there's no Christians in it. There's nothing to reflect the light of Christ. So obviously, we need to add some Christians to the world, right? Well, this morning, I'm going to look at three types of Christians. And in our first beaker, we're going to add sugar. Now, a right many Christians saw weed as sugar. Bless their heart. Just a spoonful of sugar. Wow, that just went right inside, didn't it? Well, let's kind of give it a little stir. I'm looking in the water, and boy, those Christians aren't visible at all. I don't even see them. I think these Christians are in the world and of the world. Sure, they're nice and all, sweet as sugar. But sweet and nice don't get you into heaven. Let's see how they do shining God's light, reflecting God's light. Nope. I see the bubbles. I don't see the sugar. Here's the thing. You could be a Christian knowing Jesus as Lord. You can be a good person. You can be sweet as sugar. But you can also be ineffective because you're not shining God's light in the world. Because the world doesn't recognize God's light in you. I would call this group of people camouflage Christians. Are they Christians? Sure. But the question isn't simply, am I going to heaven? But also, what you should be asking is, how many people will choose Jesus as their Lord and spend eternity in heaven because of my witness? I don't want to get to heaven and have God say, where's the rest of them? So being sweet is nice, but what's our job description? Shine God's light. Sugar Christians, you're not doing it. Let's go to the next speaker. Now we're going to add some flour. Okay? No, I'm not going to bake cookies. I left the chocolate chips at home. All right, so we're going to take a spoonful of flour. And just like there are Christians like sugar, there are Christians like flour too. Pure, fine, white, moral, upstanding. But some Christians are like flour, and, well, they don't want to mix with the world. They just want to float on top. They don't want to be in the world. Yeah, they're not of the world, but they're like, you can have the world, just give me Jesus. I'm not gonna go there. And they just want to just hang around and just not be effectual for the gospel. And so, instead of rejecting the water, I would call these people complacent Christians. They're just kind of complacent, sitting around, not really wanting to be in the world. So we gotta stir them up. All right, we gotta stir up them out of their complacency. A little bit of persecution. A little bit of tragedy. A little bit of discomfort. There you go. Try to be complacent now, will you? There you go. Sometimes God needs to shake us up a bit. All right. Well, unlike the sugar Christians, we definitely can see that they are distinct. Let's see how they reflect the light of Christ. Wow. They sure do reflect the light of Christ. This whole beaker just lights up like a light bulb. This is being in the world, but not of the world, and reflecting the light of Christ. Let's move on to the third beaker. No, I'm not making cookies. I have some good vitamin D whole milk. And what we're going to do with this is I'm going to add a spoonful of milk to the third beaker. Wow, I don't even have to stir that. Look at that. The milk Christians just went right in it. They didn't need to be coaxed. They didn't need to be stirred. They just went right for it. I like that. Well, there's definitely a difference in the world, not of the world. Don't have to stir them. They willingly mix with the water. And I don't know about you, but, I'd really prefer not to have something go wrong for God to get my attention. don't really do well with tragedies. Prefer not persecution. I know persecution got the early Christians out into the world, but I'd rather be like the milk than be like the flour, so thank you very much. All right, so far so good. In the world, not of the world, let's see if the milk Christians reflect the light of Christ. Oh, yeah. Milk Christians definitely reflect the light of Christ. Bright as a light bulb. Now, I propose that there are too many sugary Christians in the world, going around incognito, holding their personal ticket to heaven, but the people around them don't recognize them as Christians because they're in camo. Maybe you're at work and the people with whom you work don't even know you're a Christian. They may even be surprised if you told them you went to church. Really? You? Well, aren't I a nice guy? Well, yeah, it doesn't mean you go to church. God doesn't want us to be incognito. He doesn't want us to be camouflage Christians. So we're going to pass on to sugar Christians. That leaves us with the flour Christians and the milk Christians. These three are three unique mixtures. The first one is called a solution. Okay, the molecules of sugar dissolve into the molecules of water, disappear. It's like they're can't tell the difference. Camo. The flour Christians, this is called a suspension because the particles of the flour are dispersed in the water, but they don't dissolve. They're too big. Now, the good thing is they reflect the light. The caveat is that they want to settle to the bottom, and so they keep needing to be stirred up again. But then you have the milk Christians. And this mixture is called a colloid. Now, a colloid is something where the particles are big enough to reflect the light and not dissolve, but they're small enough so that they don't settle out. And so the milk Christians will just keep going and going like the Energizer Bunny. They don't need to be stirred up. And I would call these people contagious Christians. camouflage Christians, complacent Christians, and contagious Christians. Which would you rather be? I'd rather be the contagious Christians. Nah, I don't want to drink that. So, we know the parable of the sower with the three soils. Here I use three solutes in water, which was the solvent. And we can see how different Christians behave in the world. But we can't say that we've arrived. We can never say, all right, cheers, I got my colloid and I'm ready to go. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Well, these guys are eventually going to peter out. They're going to settle in complacency again, and they're going to need another swift, you know. Anyway. But these guys don't have it made in the shade. You see, this is from yesterday. Here's the sugar Christians. Just as sweet, just as ineffective. Here's the flour Christians. A whole lot of settling going on, don't you think? So, less effective. And here are the milk Christians. Colloid, still dispersed, no settling. But, not a very good witness either. A little smelly. You see, even for the contagious Christian, they need to replenish themselves with fresh milk. With fresh milk. With daily spiritual disciplines and weekly church attendance. Otherwise, even a contagious Christian can become judgmental, angry, or self-righteous with pride. Fresh milk? I don't want to smell it again. All right? This was a contagious Christian. But if left to their own, if they abandon church fellowship, sadly, they become what I would call a counterfeit Christian. And what is a counterfeit Christian but someone who is a Christian in name only and not in deed? Maybe you know someone who used to attend church and you felt that they were such a devout Christian. But though you've not kept in touch, you've been sort of disappointed to see some of their posts on Facebook that are kind of filled with hatred, and you see them championing, you know, different social issues that are contrary to the truth and morality of God's word, and you're wondering what happened to them. And I don't intend to sound harsh, but it's a heart condition, okay? They got zapped. They looked away from the light of Christ and looked at the counterfeit light of the enemy and became themselves counterfeit Christians. They may still call themselves a Christian, but their walk and their talk don't line up with what's written in the book. But there's good news. There is good news. I don't want to just say, oh, okay, we'll just write these people off. No way. There is good news. There is hope of restoration. Remember we talked about the candle on the birthday cake that went out? What do? Do you throw that candle in the garbage? Again, you take one of the lit candles and you relight the candle that was burned out. Some of these Christians have burned out. Do we just ignore them and just kind of stay cozied up with the people that we know? No. Remember Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. Matthew 12 and 13 says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Jesus doesn't say, oh, well, they went astray. Should have stayed in church. Can't believe what they posted on Facebook. If only they had stayed by my side. Too bad. What a shame. No, like a good shepherd, he pursues them. He goes after the one. Remember, that one used to be part of the hundred. That one was part of the fold. This isn't just some outsider. This is one of us who went astray. If your own child was lost, wouldn't you go searching for them? They're not a stranger. They're your own. And that's the way Jesus pursues this person who went astray. This Christian who used to attend church but now is protesting among those who reject the very truths that they once held dear. They're the one. They're the sheep who went astray, who was deceived by the worldly light, zapped by the bug zapper. Don't write them off. Be like Jesus, the good shepherd. Instead of pointing a finger of what's wrong, you're saying this is wrong, you're doing this is wrong, you're wrong, 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 wrong. Our job description is not pointing a finger with what's wrong. The world is tired of the church telling them what's wrong. They know what's wrong. They know what the church says is wrong. And they're not even listening anymore. Some Christians make it their job description to point out what's wrong with everybody else. It's almost like a part-time job to go through Facebook and to go to all the different people you disagree with and to tell them why they're wrong and to copy and paste things that show that they're wrong. And that's not attractive to Christ. That's not being a light. That's not shining God's light. It's not your job. What's your job? To shine God's light. We just read it. Your job is to be the light of the world and to, quote, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, not you condemning their works, that's my own part, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We want people to give glory to the Father who is in heaven. And we do that when we are obedient to what our job description is. And it's not pointing fingers what's wrong. It's pointing to God, who is truth. I'd like you all just to bow your heads, and we're going to take a moment in prayer. I've left some growth work for you that hopefully you will take to heart. But some of this message may have been a little heavy. And it is an awesome responsibility to bear God's light, to be the light of the world. And so as I lead you in prayer, I need you to just really be honest with the Lord. And the first question is this: are you a camouflage Christian? Are you just a good person among good people doing good things, but people don't even know you're a Christian? Are you both in the world and of the world, and you know you're not reflecting the light of Christ? You think you have the light in you, but nobody sees it. If you're that person, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I have been a camouflage Christian. And Lord, I've used excuses that I'm introverted. I've used excuses that I'm afraid, that I'm not good at speaking to other people, that I don't have my life all together and I shouldn't really be saying anything because I don't want to make you look bad because I don't have it all together. But Father, I forget that it's not my light it's your light. I don't have to have it all together. I'm not the light. I'm the wick who bears your light. My job is simply to shine the light. So, Father, I confess, I repent, Lord, for the people who have no clue that I'm a Christian, that from this day forward, they would know, not in a belligerent way, not in an antagonistic way, but in a loving way. In a way that makes you attractive. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Everyone's head still bowed. The next question is, are you a complacent Christian? Are you a complacent Christian? Are you someone who enjoys church, enjoys hanging out with fellow Christians? Shoot, you're here every time the doors are open, but you would prefer to avoid non-Christians. You pride yourself of being not of the world, but yet you refuse to also be in the world where the people are who need to see the light of Christ in you. You love being among people who share the same light as you, but you don't want to go where people need your light. If that's you, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I've been complacent. I've gotten comfortable going to church. I've gotten comfortable reading your word and praying to you and feeling like I got it together, like I'm really all that. I even got the pickle on the side to go with it. But Lord, I'm not being effectual for you. Yeah, I got your light. But people aren't noticing it because I'm not where they are. Lord, I'm reminded of how you were scoffed at because you ate and dined with sinners and you fellowshiped with people who were not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but you said that isn't a doctor to be with those who are sick? So aren't we who hold the light to be among those in darkness who need to see your light? Father God, may we not be complacent, but may we be used by you to shine your light to those who need to see it. In Jesus' name. And lastly, and this is a tough one, but be honest with the Lord because he knows who you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts. He knows your motive behind your thought, the thought that you thought you thought. And even people online or people who may be listening to this at a later date on a podcast, take a moment and ask yourself, are you a counterfeit Christian? Are you a Christian by name only? Are you someone who once burned bright for the Lord, but either from tragedies or bad choices, you forsook the assembling with other Christians in weekly church services? You've kind of lapsed in reading your Bible or in praying. And if that's you, by God's grace, you are here today. You're watching online. You're here in this service. You're listening. It's by no accident that you're receiving this message because there is hope for you. You absolutely can recommit your life to the Lord. You can throw off the heavy burdens of anger and judgmentalism. You can accept the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Oh, you can trade your disappointment for discipleship, Swap your bitterness of sour milk for the pure milk of the Word of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't remain in your bitterness. Maybe you've been deceived. Maybe you've been led astray. Maybe you've just been mad at God. And you've shook your fist at him and said, God, how could you let this happen? God knows how you feel. Maybe you've been hurt by another Christian. Whatever reason you've clung to, whatever excuse that you have embodied, let it go. It's time to come home. God loves you. God loves you. You may have run from God, but he has never stopped pursuing you like the good shepherd who goes after the one sheep. God loves you. He loves you. Pray with me. Dear Lord, forgive me. I'm just starting right there. Forgive me. I've not been living my life as the Christian I ought to be. I've not been living as I once have lived for you. I've grown sour and bitter. Lord, I ask you to restore in me a clean heart. Take away the anger. Renew in me the joy of your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. Reignite the flame that once burned bright, that I may once again shine your light to the world. Lord, you're not through with me. You haven't thrown me out. You still love me. And I thank you, Lord. I am coming back to you. I am coming back to you. Amen. Final prayer. Maybe you're someone who doesn't even know the Lord, and you're listening to all this and you're thinking, wow, I don't even know if I can do that. Milk Christians, flower Christians, colloidal Christians, contagious Christians, sour milk Christians. Oh, what? Friend, it isn't by your strength. It's not by your power. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's nothing that you do. You can never be good enough. All you need to do is come to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. I'm not worthy, but Lord, I desire you. And I ask you, Lord, to be my Savior, to be my Master. And Lord, I receive you into my heart, and I will from this day on live my life for you. And Lord, I receive that candle. I receive that fresh wax. Now, Lord, I am a wick and that you have lit. And for the first time, Lord, I can hold up that candle, hold up that flame, and shine for you. I am a new creation. I am holding your light for the first time for those to see. Maybe my family will wonder what in the world is going on with me. Maybe my coworkers will say, why are you so happy? Why are you so bright? And you'll know it's God's light. It's God's light that you hold. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome as a new light bearer for Christ. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful time of just being in the house of the Lord in prayer. And we can listen to messages all day long, but it's not information, it's transformation. And that only comes through prayer and fellowship with the Lord. Thank you for coming this morning. I hope that you were challenged, but I hope that you were encouraged to be God's light. So go out and be, what's your job description? Let your light shine. Amen. Go in peace.